have a really busy and a good week of morning show guests and get-togethers here, so welcome to Monday. We're going to put the focus on the city of Richland Center today, and in the studio with us, Mayor Karen Tepley, who will join us in just a little bit. We also have brand new Zoning Administrator Aaron Umbehan in the studio as well to kick off today. Well, Aaron, good to see you. It's been a while.
Good morning, Phil. Glad to be here.
This is a new role for you, Zoning Administrator.
It is a very new role for me, yes, indeed. I've been doing it now for going on a month.
Okay. What attracted you to the job, first of all?
Well, I've been involved in the school board for the last 4 years, getting involved in the community, and this is a role that's very instrumental in the future of Richland Center as far as zoning administrator. Just part of the comprehensive plan moving forward. With all of the construction and new businesses and all the talks of new things coming into the community and how important this role is, really piqued my interest and applied for the role.
You've been a native of this area for a long while. You grew up here too, didn't you?
Yes, I have. I grew up on a farm, actually down by Tom Knee's place on 58 and 14, then moved to town in the early 90s. And went off to serve in the military in the United States Navy, came back, been in the dairy industry, and now here I am today working for the City of Richland Center.
Keeps you busy. You mentioned the school board, where you're the school board president, correct?
Correct, yes. I've been on the school board now for going on my past my fourth year into my fifth. I've been the school board president for the last 4 years. That's been a very exciting role. It's a big commitment. There's been a lot of challenging times. We passed a referendum. That's been really exciting seeing everybody says it's the new school, the high school. All of the new projects going on, they're doing a lot of nice things up there, updating all the buildings, getting air conditioning. Yeah, it's been a really exciting 4 years.
You and I were talking before we went on the air. Your class was the first graduating class from the new school, weren't you?
Correct. Yep, I was a class in 1997.
Yeah, and it seems like only yesterday.
Yes, it does. We have our 30th class reunion coming up next year.
Only yesterday.
Where does time go?
Right. But we're seeing a lot of progress this summer. The referendum, the result of the referendum, lots of construction and the paving. And how has that been going up there?
It's been going really well. We have really good communications director. Carrie Stoltz has been doing a great job keeping people informed on traffic routes and such. So all of the meal programs and all of the things going on that, you know, during the summertime, because not everything stops when school's out. It's been really, really seamless.
I think with this role as school board president and then zoning administrator, I think it's useful that you've got a knowledge in both areas, isn't it?
It really is. Just getting myself familiar with how meetings are ran, state statutes, policies, board governance, all these different things, plus my involvement in the community through the school district, it really is a really big advantage and a really big help for me in this role.
You've been learning on the job. I guess maybe what was the toughest hurdle to get over when you initially took the job, Aaron?
There's no playbook for this. We've got ordinances, and we've got, state statutes, things that we must follow. But how you do your day-to-day, there's no playbook. It can be overwhelming. I can definitely see how, being more intimately involved in this role, how overwhelming it can be, not just for the people going through a permitting process or trying to understand the ordinances. It's equally as overwhelming for me sometimes just to wrap my head around the complexity of these things.
Is there a source you can go to, someone you can, did you talk to anybody before you took the job?
Yeah, I had a little bit of exposure to it. I talked to Matt Williams, he was the prior zoning administrator, about some things. The city administrator, Ashley Oliphant, is a great resource. She did this in a prior life before she came to the City of Richland Center as a city administrator. So I've got some good resources there for me, but still, it's a big learning curve.
Let's educate the public and myself, including, what is exactly the role of a zoning administrator? What are some of the things that you do, Aaron?
Well, it's, to promote public health, safety, and welfare of everybody, fairness, as far as, we don't want people building a garage on somebody else's property, or building fences too tall that are, you know, unsafe for motorists, or allowing trees to be hanging into sidewalks where it's unsafe for folks walking down sidewalks. There's lots and lots of ordinances in place, as well as state statutes. So basically, the public safety, health, and welfare is a big part of this.
Can it turn into a complaint department at your office if somebody's, you know, concerned that maybe somebody's a little bit too close to their property and things like that?
Absolutely. There is on the city website, there's a public concerns link that a person can go to, and you can put pictures. You know, you can remain anonymous if you want to. You could give the addresses and locations and such. There's absolutely an avenue for folks to, you know, address their concerns or complaints.
So in terms of when someone should get a permit, what are some examples? Because I don't know if everybody knows.
I am a big advocate of ask questions first, spend money later. There can be roadblocks and hurdles that can make developing a property very difficult, especially if it's floodplain. And as we all know around here, if there's not hills, it's a lot of floodplain. So these things can be challenging. And just based on where you're located at within, you know, around the city, because there is the ETZ zone, the extraterritorial zone. It's like a mile and a half perimeter outside of city limits. That's not just city zoning, but it's also county zoning as well. So there's two entities involved in those processes.
A permit for a garden shed?
Yep, there is. You can absolutely do that. There is ordinances on that where there's size limitations. I believe it's less than 120 square feet. You can put one on your property. If it's greater than that, I believe it requires a conditional use permit, which would go to the Planning Commission and the City Council. And just to also go into that a little bit further, you're allowed one accessory building other than a garage on your property. So there's even ordinances on that as well, where you have a primary residence, a garage, and an accessory building. So like those are your, at a high level, some of your restrictions just based on ordinances.
What about a deck, Aaron?
Decks require permitting too. Think of it like this. Anything that changes the footprint of your property, whether it's a deck or a walkway entrance into your property where it's elevated with stairs, all of these things, buildings, decks, they all require some level of permitting through zoning. And also, not just new construction, it's even if you replace it. Because as we all know, if you put a deck on there 30 years ago, ordinances over 30 years could absolutely change. And to be in compliance and have a conforming structure, you still have to go through the permitting process, even if it pre-existed.
What about a ramp going into the house? Is that something that's...
Yes, a ramp absolutely would, because there's setbacks from that too. You can't have a ramp just built and end on a sidewalk or something like that. So think of it like anything that changes the footprint. So if you take up real estate on your land outside of what's already existing, there is most likely some level of permitting involved.
Indoor things, though, remodeling, not necessarily required, right?
Remodeling, yes. There are instances where remodeling absolutely would fall into the permitting process. There's districts. So part of zoning is districts. You have like R1, R2, commercial general, commercial downtown. So with those districts, there are restrictions on what you can and really can't do. So if you have a single family dwelling and you want to change the inside where now you've got additional bedrooms and bathrooms, and now you're encroaching on possibly changing the house from an R1 to an R2 type of district, remodeling absolutely would require some level of permitting so that the structure itself is still conforming with what it's zoned as.
What about a fence around your property? That's probably a kind of a sticky point sometimes, isn't it?
Fences do, yes. They are definitely a permitted. They're considered a structure, right? So in order to maintain visibility, especially if you're on a corner lot, for example, you can only have a fence that's 30 inches tall past the front of your house, and you can build it up to the lot line. But the reason for that is it goes from 6 feet tall to 30 inches tall is for public safety, to maintain visibility triangles so vehicles can see them driving around corners, see over them driving around corners and such like that. So everything, even though it may seem straightforward and simple, there's probably something there that requires a little bit of attention to detail and a conversation with the zoning department.
What about sidewalks? Where do they fall in?
Sidewalks, I believe, is more of a public works thing. Mm-hmm. It is required that homeowners maintain sidewalks. There is a process for that as far as permitting and all of that. That goes to the public works department.
I'm impressed. You've been on the job a month, and there's a lot of stuff you've learned, obviously.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of studying. There's actually a library. It's a city hall, and I have spent many hours checking out books, going into the past records to figure some of these things out. I feel like I'm in school again.
Well, that could be scary if you're back in school again. I remember when you were in school.
One thing the library is missing is a card catalog. We're going to have to put one of those in.
There you go.
Or make it all digital.
So who do you work with as far as in the city, hand in hand with some of the people that, on staff?
I work a lot with Jason Glassbrenner. Jason and I are in conversations every single day. A lot of what we do is kind of intertwined, sort of like your sidewalk example. He leans on me, I lean on him. We both kind of are helping one another as we navigate this, because this is something that it's very important for the community, but it's never been a big priority to do. So now that zoning has been made a priority, I mean, really, all of us working together and networking is really, really important. So I've been working with, even with Scott Gald on some things as well, with some expansion projects, just fire truck access. Are there concerns? Do we need to change plans or have the developer change plans? So it's very cross-functional. It's very collaborative, which to me is very exciting. I really like and enjoy working with others.
There's been a lot going on in the city as far as some construction and some upgrades and things like that. Really a lot going on. Do you look at it as seasonal, or are you going to be busy the whole year?
I've been told that it slows down a little bit as, the frost hits the ground because construction slows. But that doesn't mean to say that there's not work to be done. Like I said, there's no playbook to this. And one thing that I really want to focus on as I'm in between things is how do we educate the public on this stuff? Because this is overwhelming. It's overwhelming even for myself doing this role. And I think educating folks and trying to make the process easier is, in my mind, very, very, very important. And also even making our city website more intuitive and user-friendly, and giving people more and more information to hopefully help explain some of the processes so that when they are prepared to have the conversation with me, they're more informed.
And what's the best way if somebody's listening, they have a question, a phone call or the website, or what's the best?
You can make a phone call, 608-647-3466, extension 207. Go on the city website. All my contact information, including email links, are on there as well. Whatever questions folks have, just reach on out.
You're, as mentioned, entwined with the school district as the school board president and in the city. What makes Richland Center a special place to be and live in, Aaron?
I'd say the sense of community. As you probably are well aware of, just using the school district as an example, we went down this strategic planning pathway and adopting a coherent governance model. When we held the two-night event, allowing the community to have a voice and actually set the direction for the future, that to me speaks volumes to the engagement of the community, that they really, really, really care. They want to have a voice. They want to be heard. They want to be part of something. And to me, that sense of engagement and involvement in community is really, really fascinating.
I don't think any of us like change, but I think that some of the things, you know, for the future are pretty exciting, aren't they?
I'm really excited. As I've gotten involved with more of the city things on the sidelines, just kind of like watching the movies or the meetings and hearing the banter on the streets, like I'm excited, like with the hotel talks and all of these exciting things going on. This really is a great community.
Thanks for coming in, Aaron. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having me, Phil. I appreciate it.
Good luck with the new job here now that you've been at it a month, and come back and see us a little bit later.
I will. I'm hoping to make some appearances on here on a more frequent basis once I get my feet wet here and really start understanding things at a much higher level. Like I said, I really want to, you know, educate folks and really help make a process that is overwhelming feel a little bit less overwhelming.
Very good. Good to have you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
New Zoning Administrator Aaron Umbehan. This part of the morning show coming up, we'll talk with Mayor Karen Tepley on a Monday morning. Our morning show continues on WRCO as we put the focus on the city of Richland Center. Thanks to Aaron Umbehan for being our guest. Mayor Karen Tepley is here for the next part of the show. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Phil. And I would also like to thank Aaron for agreeing to come in just to give us the overview of his job. And I would also like to just mention that we are going to be rolling out some PSAs, public service announcements, for the zoning administrator and zoning position in general. You know, we are a city we want to be proud of. So, you know, with positive, forward-looking, honest, responsible growth, you know, that's really what we want to be. And like Aaron said, you know, there is no playbook. So what we want to do is give people a chance to kind of get used to the fact that we do have a full-time zoning administrator now, and we haven't had that for a good many years. I've been on council for 8, and he is the first full-time zoning administrator. So we want to just make people aware that if we're going to have a city to be proud of, then we all are going to have to kind of mind the rules.
Sure. So does it make life easier, having the zoning administrator there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, like I said, as the mayor, I do get, you know, phone calls every now and then for, you know, certain things that are going on in the city. And, you know, before it would have to, well, we'll see what we can do about that. And now I can go, Aaron, we have a call that, you know, you might be able to help these folks with, or people coming into the building. Once again, it was, you know, go here, go there. But now they can just go right into Aaron's office and he can assist them. So that's really great.
He's a new hire, and you have a new clerk as well.
We do. Amanda Keller is probably a familiar name in that role. Amanda had moved out of the area for a job outside of for her husband, actually. And so they decided to move back, and the role was open. In fact, I think I mentioned to you that when we did our budget back in October of last year, we actually had to make the budget without a zoning administrator and without a clerk, just so that we could make our budget. So now that we, and that was, the plan was for the first 6 months. So it is July. And so now we were able to put the job positions out there for both positions. And Amanda just happened to move back at that time. So it's been great. So she knows the role. And so we're really fortunate to have her back.
Didn't require so much training then, did it?
Correct. And she will be joining us. She had other commitments this morning, but she'll be joining me on one of the shows too. So have a chance to chat with her.
Since the last time you were here, I know you've had a few meetings and things like that. Anything you wanted to touch on?
Oh, exactly. So the budget committee, one of the items that was on their agenda is a new purchasing and procurement policy. That's a 19-page document, which is very important because it also, you know, manages how we're going to grow. So how we spend the taxpayers' dollar is very important. And our policy that we had previously was about a 3-page. You know, there's been so many more new rules and regs from, you know, both mostly from the state as well as the city, and we really need to upgrade that policy. So they're certainly going over that. And then the park board, once again, we are going to be looking at amending ordinances so that the ordinances and the state statutes match, because right now they don't. So that's still an ongoing process, but we're hoping by the next council meeting, which will not be tomorrow. I'll make note of that. So that'll be on August 18th. Hopefully we'll have that all buttoned up. And then one of my important jobs is appointing people to committees. And so I had the privilege of reappointing Dr. Sherry Johnson to the library board, and also a new appointment, Joseph Heaty. He has a background in journalism. He's a writer. He's just made a great fit for that committee. And then for the park board, I once again was able to reappoint Alicia Woodhouse, and then we put Brad Wagner on that park board.
Okay.
So that's that's been a few of those meetings. And then back July 10th, myself and the council, we were all invited to go to WPPI for an orientation, which was really interesting to see how public power really works. So that was very, very well attended. And then we also had on the 15th then, the president and CEO, Mike Peters from WPPI. He did a joint committee meeting with the City Utility Commission and City Council, because we have to extend the contract. So it's a, you know, they have to talk about planning ahead and planning and zoning and all of that. They have to plan like 30 years ahead to get some of these contracts and to know where they're going. So we extended the contract out to 2073.
My goodness. Yep. who knows what we're looking at down the road
right,
that far.
Right. So. Yeah, but they have to. So I mean, during the orientation, we went up to one of the rooms where they have, it almost looked like a, you know, like a NASDAQ stock exchange. They had all these graphs and everything, like, you know, if solar is down, you know, wind might be up, and, you know, and just how to manage how that all that power has to come into, you know, transmission lines. It can only hold so much. So it's not like a free for all. It was just amazing, I'll tell you. That was really good.
Lots of talk lately about the 765 kilovolt lines. What have you heard in terms of the city? Anything that's come across?
Well, there have been some meetings, and I've attended the one that they had at the Phoenix Center. And as far as everything that we can tell, that there isn't anything into the city that we're aware of. So, but I know Tony Kurtz attended that meeting as well, and you know he's staying on top of it. And conversations between Scott Gauld, our utility manager, Tony Kurtz, just to keep an eye on, mostly because some of the companies that are in charge of this, they haven't filed any of their information with the Public Service Commission. So that's where the gray area is, because that hasn't been done yet. So once that occurs, then we'll have a better idea. They will also have to have public meetings after that, so it won't be, you know, they file their information and then whatever they say goes. So Public Service Commission has the say in most of this. So
mm-hmm. It's the fear of the unknown.
It is. You know? It is.
So hopefully we'll learn more as the months go on that. What about construction in the city? How's everything going this summer?
Yes. So as you well know, as you can see out your window, the Highway 14 project is moving right along. It's been really nice riding and driving on the completed part. And so what's going to be nice about this part of Highway 14, and I don't know if everybody realizes it, but that median that used to be there in the little rather narrow turning lanes that you had, that will be gone. So you'll have a central turning lane, but there won't be the, you know, like the median in the middle. So that'll be a really nice visual for everyone. Projects going on in the city. I took a ride out to Panorama Estates yesterday and took a few pictures. So they're moving along really nicely. And same with Story Field. So Story Field is no longer a field. There's a lot of like cement pads have been laid, and they're really, you can see kind of the makings of the road. And so they're really coming along nicely and right on schedule. They do have some, we've been receiving calls, people wanting to get on the waiting list for when the duplexes are built. So they've put signs up. So if anyone is interested in getting their name on the waiting list, you can drive by there and take down that number.
That's exciting when you talk about growth and,
yes,
you know, more tax dollars and things like that.
So. Exactly. You know, much of our budget is centered around net new construction. I know former Mayor Todd Coppernol said it often here on the radio, because that's the number the state uses to do their formulas. So if they can see you're growing, you know, they're going to help you grow. You know, and that works the negative, too, because if you're not growing, you're just going in reverse. And our area has been going in reverse. So this is really, really critical. I know Aaron mentioned, you know, hotel project. Once again, that plays into net new construction. And also on that site, there is room for two other, you know, businesses. So hotel would be kind of the cornerstone, but, you know, there's room for more there, too. So we're excited about that.
Is there anything new in terms of the hotel?
Nothing new just yet. Just, you know, everything, like say, forming the investment group, new leads. Just last week, sent out another new lead. So just waiting to hear back from some of them. So just got to keep it rolling.
If you look at the projections for this area down the road, and I think not only Richland Center and Richland County, but, you know, projections show like the growth rate down and the population declining and things like that. Things like this, maybe you can buck the trend a little bit, hopefully.
Maybe. That's what we're hoping. And I have heard from surrounding communities that, in a just anecdotal kind of information, I heard a school principal say that, you know, in conversations he's hearing that more of the young people are staying. So we like to hear that, and that's not too far away from where we are. So we're hoping that, you know, those trends can be changed. And if we start now, they can be. If we just, you know, sit on our hands and say, well, you know, we'll just do it the way we always did it, you know, that's not going to benefit anybody. And I think I maybe have mentioned this before. I was at a panel discussion when I was at the campus, and the state of Wisconsin had some reps there, and they said that state of Wisconsin is number four at bringing the 30-somethings back to their hometowns. So I think I've seen it. I've seen a few of those 30-somethings, you know, come back, because once they start having kids, they want, you know, they want to be close to grandma and grandpa and just have that family. And Wisconsin's a real family-oriented state, and we certainly are as a community.
Month of August is here. Some things going on. National Night Out scheduled for tomorrow.
Yes, and that's why we changed our meeting. So our meeting is typically tomorrow. So yes, I hope everyone gets out there and enjoys everything that the fire department, the Richland County Sheriff's Department, Police Department, EMTs, all the work that they've you know, put together for this event. And it's a great chance for everybody to, you know, get to see all these people in action when it's not the worst day of their life at that moment. So get out and ask questions and you know, watch a few demonstrations. Should be a good time. Hopefully the weather will hold up.
That's what I was going to say, Karen. Just hopefully stay tuned, you know, because the forecast isn't that great, but I'm guessing there are some contingency plans we can talk about as well.
And okay. So, yes, yeah. good.
Anything else for the month of August you're looking forward to, you'd like to note today?
We're certainly looking forward to the Grace Auction that'll be happening here on the radio. I guess it starts today.
Shortly,
correct?
Yes.
Yep. So looking forward to that. I'll just say if people haven't, you know, given you a call to get their bid numbers, you know, please do that. The, you know, Grace is, once again, something very unique to our community. And you could probably help me how many years that has been going on.
This is the 23rd.
23rd year. Yeah, that's just fantastic. And, you know, the funds stay here in our community. So we just really appreciate the work that you all do to, you know, make that happen for, you know, all of the individuals.
Indeed. And not only for the city of Richland Center, but the entire area. You know, I think every one of us can pick out somebody that's been helped by grace, and certainly we can pick out a lot of people who've been touched by cancer in our lives too.
Exactly. So once again, appreciate all that work. And I'll just mention that, you know, we're still reaching out, to other, of some of our larger employers. It's being kind of led by, the utilities. So that we, you know, have an idea once again on growth. So if the largest community, largest corporations are either possibly deciding to, you know, go ahead and do some expansion, or maybe, you know, some things are happening and they're pulling back, that's really important for leadership to know. So we've had the initial meetings with Allied Machinery and also Schreiber Foods, and then we're going to continue to have those meetings like on a quarterly basis. So it's been really great to have a tour of Schreiber Foods. I never realized all of the computerized, a lot of things, you know, robotics and all of that that's involved there. So it was very, very interesting to see that. And then also the city and the county are continuing to meet. So leadership from the county, board chair Carrie Severson, as well as vice chair Larry Engel, myself, and Ryan Cairns, we are meeting once a month. And we're just discussing like the higher levels of things so that we can plan ahead. That's really important, but it's so important to have the city and the county talking so that we're working together, which would lead me right into the campus projects, you know. So those are still ongoing. You know, they have meetings scheduled, but housing is still the topic for redevelopment there.
I noticed some more buildings being worked on and taken down, it looks like.
There are. You know, I worked in both the library and Melville Hall, so it was nice to see Melville Hall is going to stay. But, yeah, it is change, and it is hard. But I think, once again, if we are going to move forward, you know, unfortunately, those buildings were, you know, 50 years old, and unfortunately, with the current regulations, ADA and all that, they just were not, it was just not feasible to keep them. So, once again, there will be room for, we're just hoping another thing that would impact the community as much as the campus did would take that place.
Most definitely. So we can, you know, that land doesn't stay dormant, you know, put to good use.
Correct.
Right. So, and in terms of other things, if people want to get a hold of you, what about office hours?
Sure. Yes, I would love to have you come and visit. I have office hours for constituents. Walk in on Mondays from 11:30 till 1, and then also on Thursday from 4:30 till 6. And then I'm in the office Monday and Tuesday most of the day, a bit on, like say, on Thursday, and also on Friday. So if you want to set up an appointment, so I'm, you know, free those hours too.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for coming to see us this month.
Yes, thank you for inviting us. We certainly love to share what's going on in the great city of Richland Center.
Absolutely, and bring back more of the employees too.
Yes, you know, so. I love doing this, and I'm so glad that they're willing to come along.
Indeed. Thanks to Aaron Umbiano, who was here earlier, zoning administrator, and Mayor Karen Tepley for our monthly visit here on The Morning Show from WRCO.